Bibles, please, for our second reading, Zechariah chapter 2, our Old Testament reading. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, and to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is a welcome respite in the book of Zechariah from the more complex prophecies which will come, because this one is fairly simple, fairly easy to understand, and fairly straightforward. We're going to come to a few that have vexed commentators for centuries, but not this chapter. This chapter is a follow-along on the first chapter. And so what do we have? Notice there was that measuring of Jerusalem in the first chapter. Now we have it accomplished here in the second chapter. He's going to draw a line over Jerusalem. And the prophet asks him, Where are you going and what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to measure Jerusalem and to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And then there's the angel that talked with me, and another angel went out to meet him. And notice what he said, Run and speak to that young man that's measuring Jerusalem and tell him this. It's a fruitless endeavor. It's going to be inhabited as towns without walls. The blessing that God will bring to Jerusalem is such that it cannot be measured with a line. It's going to be like a town without a wall. Not without a wall because there's no protection, but because it's going to be expanded to the point where a wall can't compass it anymore. Of course, this is speaking of the days of the New Testament when the true Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, will indeed spread over the whole earth. So, notice what we have here. I will be unto her a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst of her. Why does a city have walls? To protect it. Some of those walls were, you know, feet thick, such that there were rooms in the bottom, right? Places, you know, they would store grain and water and supplies that they would need to withstand the siege. It was sort of, you know, like public space that the king had built as a part of the city. Sometimes as wide as 20 feet, you could take two or three wagons across the top of the wall. That's what the wall was like. But notice, Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls. It's not going to be a wall there. Why won't there be a wall in this expansive city? The Lord says, because I will be a wall of fire around about her and the glory in the midst of her. In other words, I'm not just going to be her protection. I'm going to dwell in the midst of my people. And we would remember several New Testament passages. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? Here he is right in our midst. I will be among you. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You're going to expand to all the nations. All of those passages come to mind and more as we think of this section here of Zechariah's prophecy and the blessing that the Lord will bring to Jerusalem in the after days. And no, while I love my dispensational brothers, they're wrong. It's not a revived Jerusalem itself. It's what the writer in Hebrews 12 calls the heavenly Jerusalem. What John will call at the end of the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem, and so on. Okay? All right, so that takes us down through verse 6. Now the Lord tells them in 6 through 9, you have been in captivity long enough. Come home. I'm rebuilding Jerusalem, so come home. Come home. Why should you stay any longer in the land of the heathen? And the sad part of this is that many did. Many stayed in Babylon. In fact, when we read in the prophecies, well, not in the prophecies, but in the chronicling of the restoration under Ezra, we read that it was the tens of thousands that came home rather than the hundreds of thousands that went. The Jews end up, many of them, staying in Babylon, far away from that place where God said he would set his name. We might say it rightly this way, that the nation of the Jews itself as a political institution never really recovered from the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. The church remained among her. Jesus will say of the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, so do what they say. The church remained among her. But politically speaking, nationally speaking, Judea, the tribes there, Judah and so on, never really recovered after that time. Even the temple itself, most folks believe, and I'm inclined to agree with them, that the Ark of the Covenant was never recovered. It was never in the Holy of Holies any longer. It wasn't there. It was taken apart. The gold was stripped off of it and used for other purposes, because why? You know, oh, those dirty Gentiles that they stripped the gold off the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the Jews had done that a long time ago in their idolatry, hadn't they? The glory had departed. And so notice that the writer makes reference to this here. Verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. The glory departed. The people of God departed with that glory. The Lord was that little sanctuary to them in the land where they were taken captive. Now they're being told to come home with the glory again. Right? And that's what's being communicated here. All right, so because the Lord has done all these wonderful things on their behalf, notice verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall be my people. And this is speaking, obviously, of the days of Messiah, that greater temple, that greater restoration of all things. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. And now notice what the Lord says in verse 13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And there's a division among commentators as to what that actually means. It may be that the Lord has stirred himself up out of his holy habitation to be a defense of his people. So stop your mouths. Stop speaking against the Lord and against his people. It could be that. Or it could also be that the Lord has raised himself up and the glory did depart out of Jerusalem, but for a time. That everyone, that the world would see, that the final establishment of Jerusalem and Judah and the people of God will be not in that habitation of Jerusalem, but will be throughout the whole world. He's raised himself up out of his holy habitation to be the God over all the earth, and many then will come. And that especially after saying that all of these other nations are going to come and worship the Lord in Zion. So I don't know how... I'm more inclined to think that the Lord has stirred himself up out of his holy habitation to defend his people. That's how I see the passage. Not that he's going to go out from among his people, but he stirred himself up out of his holy habitation to reign over the entire world from Jerusalem as all of the forces of the Gentiles come in the days of Messiah unto that kingdom of his. So it's a great prophecy of Christ and his kingdom, which is indeed a kingdom for all nations, right? My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Thus ends the reading then of Zechariah chapter 2. Let's stand.